Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. Sorry, Luke, was that too loud?
Very loud in my headphones.
Why was it? Is that louder than normal?
I don't know.
Are we tinkered with something?
I have no idea.
I'm Ollie Davis, and I'm joined by the other one, Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm good. The one reason that the audio might have just deafened us slightly there is because we are... I mean, this. I guess the podcast people, the pod swafters, might not really care that much, but spread the word after swafters, because... We are working on the set, the new setup for Wrestle Ramble on the YouTube channel, and we've had experiments with audio and whatnot.
Yes,
it's coming. Hopefully, hoping by the end of the month.
Absolutely, I'm very much looking forward to it because that will stop people complaining about how boring this backdrop is at the moment. Because it's not a backdrop; it's literally the soundboards to dampen the sound in here that are just. Try to arrange look a bit nicer.
Yeah. I didn't think people watched this I just assumed they put it on YouTube and then went onto other tabs.
I mean, that's what I would do.
Yeah. But we want to look professional. I do not blame people for wanting to look at a nice thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I completely agree. So how was you were here working quite late and watching the Bake Off? I, on the other hand, went to the Shepherd's Bush O2 Empire to watch John Carpenter in concert, and it was. Bloody spectacular. It was absolutely awesome. It was one of the best gigs I've ever been to. I had such a good time.
What are the other best gigs you've ever... Give me the other two. So top three.
Faith No More, Reading, 2009. But that's because I was so desperate to see Faith No More. Other best
Lady
gig.
Gaga.
I've never seen Lady Gaga.
I thought you had seen Lady
No,
Gaga.
No, my brother had, because my brother was a roadie for Lady Gaga for a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
I've met your brother.
I know you have.
That seems like a very unlikely job that he would have had.
My brother is a jack of all trades. But other best gig, maybe Clutch, Bloodhound Gang were very good. When I saw them, a few years ago, about 10 years ago now.
Okay, it's all right. Carry on with John Carpenter.
Oh, yeah, but John Carpenter was awesome. Really, really good. He played... all the hits from his films, because this was like
that we all know,
yeah. Really enjoyed. Like, he opened with Big Trouble in Little China. He opened with Escape from New York, and it was so cool. Like, seeing him, he has got some amazing dad dance moves.
Oh, he did some grooves.
Yes. So because,
or was it like a Truth TV dance break?
No, it was like he's got some moves while he's playing, because his son Cody is on lead synth. So he's doing, so you know, like the Halloween theme, da 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 da. That's what Cody is doing. Like, he's doing that bit, whereas John Carpenter's doing the doom doom, so, which gives him a lot more time to do some dancing while he's playing. A lot, usually just one-handed, this other hand in his pocket, and just looking so cool.
Do you ever remember Milo, spelt MYLO?
Absolutely not.
Mother Ever's gonna drop the pressure.
Nope.
Dun 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 dun.
Absolutely
so
not.
So he would perform with keyboards, and he would walk between the keyboards, and he had the worst in between keyboards walk dance I've ever seen. It was so funny.
I got back quite late last night, but my wife was still awake, and we were just sort of like chatting and stuff about, like, you know, how the gig was and everything, and I just happened to mention, like, and got myself a t-shirt. That's what you do when you go to gigs. I'm a bit of a sucker for t-shirts.
You're wearing it today.
I am, yes.
That's Christine.
It's my Christine t-shirt.
It's some exhaust fumes coming out of the back of a
Well, out of Christine.
Classic car.
Yes, because that's what Christine is. She's a,
spelling the word Christine.
Yes, and I also got a tour t-shirt. So that was like, I was like, she's like, oh, it's a nice t-shirt you bought. I was like, yep, and I also bought another one.
How much does that cost?
They were expensive.
How much is a John Carpenter t-shirt? Bought from inside the venue, not from the spaces on the pavement outside.
They were. You don't see that very much. We were actually talking about this with a guy in the queue when we were going in, me and my friend. You don't really see, like, well, I remember going to gigs back in the day, and you would almost see more scalpers than you would people going into the arena or the building or whatever. People just going, like, buy, sell tickets. And apparently now they stand outside tube stations. That's where they operate their business. The other thing you don't see anymore is people selling bootleg merch outside of gigs, you know, with, like, incorrect names or, like, tour dates that are wrong, like, 8 days in a week, like, of the actual tour. But they were £20 each.
That's not too bad.
Well, when you put buy you two, that's £40.
Yes, I get. And then I get how that works.
And then I bought two beers, and that cost me £11.90.
Okay, well you got that's okay. I thought you were gonna because when I went to the Rolling Stones, their standard tour T-shirt was £40.
Oof, hello, mate.
I know.
Hello, Moto.
People bought them.
Well, of course they are. And that's how, so. I mean, I'm not the biggest Metallica fan. I think Metallica are perfectly fine. I think Hardwired is a great album, though.
They're fine.
They are
fine. It was fine.
But they were like the first band to really monetize fandom. So like they were the first people to like, hey, if you want to be get access to tickets, why don't you like become a member of our fan club, pay a monthly subscription, and then you can get early access to tickets. Also, would you like to buy some merchandise? Mm. They were very smart on that. And now you see a lot of bands, Guns N' Roses are doing the exact same thing, clearly because they got back together for the love of each other and because they want to make music together.
Sweet, sweet music.
Yep, which is why you've got to become a fan club member in order to actually buy a ticket. You've got to be a member of the fan club, and then the tickets are super expensive, and then their merchandise is super expensive. John Carpenter, on the other hand, he's just such a humble dude. He's like, this is a fair price for a t-shirt. Would you like to buy it? And I went, yes, I would.
Or John Carpenter can't get away with doing all those things because mate, he is relatively niche.
Mate, I'll be honest with
compared
you.
Compared to megastars Guns N' Roses.
However, the fans that were there, and like these were like people who were just so dedicated to the John Carpenter cause of being like, do you know whose films are brilliant? John Carpenter. Do you know whose music is brilliant? John Carpenter. These are people who were so excited to see this. Like, you know, he sold the place out. You know, it's 2,000 seats. If you'd asked each one of them to pay a fiver to sign up to his thing, people would have done it.
By the way, we have a Patreon. So if you want to get access to exclusive content,
absolutely,
then go back. And also, we've got a movie screening coming up in Leicester Square in London.
We certainly do.
The Prince Charles, a screening of Beyond the Mat and a live Wrestle Ramble after. What are you waiting for? If you haven't bought your tickets already for that, what are you waiting for?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you remember that when Michael Cole would just say,
yeah,
if you haven't subscribed to the WWE Network yet, what are you waiting for?
My favourite was when he was like, are you ordering this on pay-per-view? God, you're idiots. Like, don't order on pay-per-view and pay $40 for it. Get the network.
Yeah.
That was great. Big thank you to an email from, oh, I'm going to butcher this, I'd imagine, Sem Sarigol. C-E-M-S-A-R-I-G.
Ah, none of those are phonetically spelled. I get, yeah. Sem. Yeah.
Sem Sarigol.
Sarigol.
Sarigol, that's what I'm going with. Sem Sarigol. Thank you very much for your Rusev Hey. You sent me a very detailed description of what happened on the show, but don't really go into detail about the actual people that you met. But still.
It's essentially a show report.
it did feel like it. But thank you very much for sending that in. I do have another Rusev Hey here from Emmanuel Espinoza. Hi, Luke, brackets not Ollie, and Laurie. Love the podcast, love the consistent work. Keep it up. I'm glad Laurie is a part of the team now. He's so trustworthy, even if his name is Spanish for the fake one. I'm Hispanic, I should know. But I'm sure that's just a coincidence. Here's my Rusev Hey. I'll keep it short. I live in a small town in southern Arkansas. Or in the US, we don't have a lot of stuff to do here. Even the local bowling alley is going out of business. Aww. Despite all that, City Council's starting an events organization, and we now have concerts featuring a few big name artists. Well, hopefully, John Carpenter. Mostly country artists. Recently, we got a few wrestling events. Not to be rude, they are relatively unknown names. But the main event of the show I went to was MVP versus Chavo Guerrero. Tickets were only $10, and me and my friends were bumped up to VIP. I got to meet Chavo. He's a really nice guy, super easy to talk to, The show was great, and he beat MVP for the promotion's top title. That's my Rusev, hey? And here's a picture to prove it, because you know that old saying, pics or it didn't happen. I've been Emmanuel, and that was a Rusev, hey? And that is a picture of him with Chavo.
Hey, that's cool. That Chavo, cool. Star of Netflix's Glow.
Yeah, there is. And that is a very nice AJ Styles t-shirt you're wearing there. And a very nice beard, I might add. Nice little chin strap. Very metal of you. Very early 2000s new metal. You'd have fit right in POD. But Ollie has given me the eyes to...
I'm not going to... The 10 minutes are up.
I know. But anyway, we're going to crack into the show now. We're kicking off talking about the big news coming out of SmackDown 1000, which is all around Dave Batista seemingly getting into a feud with Triple H, like he needs another one, for WrestleMania. Here's the show.
To the task in hand. The big news coming out of SmackDown 1000. It was a big show with a lot of newsworthy things happening on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to talk about... Where was Tori Wilson?
No.
She was advertised. I was looking forward to her. She is the only reason I watched this.
Well, Michelle McCool didn't show up either. Neither did James Ellsworth. James Ellsworth was there. He actually did a WWE.com video being like, why wasn't I on TV? And it really does feel that this show, particularly this segment we're going to talk about, derailed the whole show. I think this segment might have gone longer than it was supposed to. And everything else had to sort of like be condensed down because like The Undertaker came out at the end of the show as like the final, literally the bell rung and then The Undertaker had to make his entrance because you need 10 minutes to do that. And he said three words and then left. I wonder if like the show ran, well, this segment ran longer than it was supposed to. And things like your Tori Wilson appearance and your Michelle McCool appearance was scrapped.
Are you telling me? A Triple H segment went long.
Wow. I mean,
over its allotted time.
I'm just speculating here. That's all speculation on my part.
And potentially a McMahon family segment also ran long.
There is also that possibility as well, yeah.
To the detriment to people who are not in control of the company.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a reason why The Miz and Rusev went, I believe, 15 seconds.
Blast for me, blast for you, blast for everybody. So, this is Evolution reuniting, which, as much as we're joking about it going long, I thought was a tremendous segment. Loved it.
Absolutely, yeah. I thought it was probably the best thing on the show, really.
But we should clarify that when we say Evolution, we are talking about...
The group.
The Raw faction.
Yeah, not the pay-per-view that's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, the Raw faction on this SmackDown Celebration show.
Now, I wonder as well, because I wasn't really hyped for, like, an Evolution reunion... on SmackDown, considering they were a Raw exclusive brand. But like, I wonder, really, I wasn't hyped for an Evolution promo or an Evolution reunion for the same reason that we've seen a lot of people in our comments section aren't into The Shield at the moment, because they weren't watching wrestling when The Shield were originally around. So they just look at The Shield now as an excuse to get Roman over, which that's what The Shield always were, but they were just really awesome.
Mm.
And Evolution, or Evolution, depending on your point of origin, were a group that were around when I wasn't watching wrestling. This was when I'd stopped watching.
This is the both of us, we were, after the Attitude Era kind of
dropped,
crashed
off.
We watched SmackDown because you had that great Paul Heyman.
I wasn't even watching that. I stopped at 2002-ish. I stopped watching it. It was when Hogan won the belt. Mm. And then Undertaker won it a month later. I was like, I'm done with this.
Yeah, well, this Triple H faction, you know, was a great... It was meant to get Randy Orton over.
And
similar
Batista.
To how... Well, Batista got over by accident and they went
was
with
him.
Was
it really?
Yeah, it was always designed to get Randy
I
over.
Thought it was... I knew it was designed to get Randy over. I thought the point of it was to get both of them over.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously, but... They always thought Randy was going to be the big star there, allegedly. So this, but they all come out for this in their various guises. So the problem with this is Batista to me feels like such a SmackDown star.
Yeah,
and I really like he was a huge part of that mid-noughties to late-noughties SmackDown brand. So I really think this should just be. A Batista return. You advertise it as a Batista return. That's big. That's like mainstream big because he's in these highest grossing superhero movies of all time. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Like, because then you can put Batista Returns at the top of all your adverts rather than Evolution Returns, which, by the way, is comprised of Ric Flair, Triple H, oh, the Batista guys in it, and Randy Orton. You bring Batista down, and then, like, as a nice moment, you surprise him with the Evolution reunion.
That's actually
I would have done it.
That's a really nice way of doing it. Because, like, when I got back into watching wrestling, which was early 2005, that was just as Evolution had come to an end. Randy Orton had already been kicked out of the group. And it was when they were doing Batista's face turn against Triple H to lead into that WrestleMania match they had. And then the second, like, that match happened, he went off to SmackDown. So I, like you, have always thought, yeah, Batista's definitely a SmackDown guy.
Mm.
And I'll be honest, out of all these four lads that were in the ring, he was the only one I was interested in hearing from. Like, he was the shining star of this segment, really. The whole segment was designed for him. So the Evolution thing really was like an almost redundant backdrop to it.
Which is weird because, so this was Washington, D.C. Great crowd, yeah. I thought, all night.
Mm-hmm.
Batista's hometown, which he very eloquently put over in his promo. And and it's SmackDown 1000. He was only contacted to return a couple of weeks ago.
When he complained about it on Twitter.
Yeah. And, like, that was quite obviously, that's not just, well, it was reportedly, but you can work out for yourself that's what actually happened. It's not like that turned into a storyline.
Well, the thing is, with Batista, you see, he didn't do what the Bellas did. The Bellas became famous outside of WWE, but through WWE, really, with, like, the Total Divas and Total Bellas stuff. Whereas Batista literally went, no, I'm done. And he walked off and he became mega famous outside of, without the help of WWE. So they're always, you can find those sort of wrestlers have like a bit of a, or the company has a bit of a chip on their shoulder about those sorts of people who become famous without them.
Also, people who are closely linked to Triple H, who go on and have that big movie career that Triple H probably wishes he could have had.
He always wanted that big movie career, and it never happened for him because he was in Blade Trinity, which is a dreadful movie.
And he's not a good actor. Like, he's a great professional wrestler, but he is not a good actor.
I mean,
film.
Incredibly, though, he's not the worst thing in Blade Trinity.
Yeah, but that's a special movie. he's quite fun in Blade Trinity.
Yeah.
Chaperone, it's awful.
That is a bad film. So this segment was, really, this segment was just here to tease the Batista versus Triple H match at WrestleMania next year.
But when, like, that presumably that was only something they agreed upon in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, because
after they started advertising the Evolution reunion.
Right, most likely, because Batista's whole deal was, he said, like, I want to do one last run with the company, but not do what I did during that Royal Rumble period, like when I came back and I was meant to win the title at WrestleMania, but unfortunately that Daniel Bryan bloke got over and sort of messed everything up. He wanted to come back and do a full run, do the TV, do house shows, do all of it, and end with a Batista versus Triple H match at WrestleMania. Like, that was what he's always wanted to do. What he said he wanted to do earlier this year, he was going to be Ronda Rousey's tag team partner at WrestleMania this year. And this isn't rumor or speculation, this is what Batista has said in interviews, that this is what Dave Meltzer had reported, and then Batista, you know, said, yeah, that's true.
Mm.
I was going to be Ronda Rousey's tag team partner, and it was all agreed upon, and then all of a sudden they just stopped returning my calls. And then was just like, and then they announced Kurt Angle as the tag team partner without telling Dave, and he just went, well, I guess I'm not at WrestleMania this year then. And he's been in sort of like very down on the company all year long, really. Mm. And the tweets have kind of sort of backed that up. Until this point here, as you said, like 2 weeks ago, all of a sudden they announced that he is going to be coming back. And yeah, part of that appears to be for a match with Triple H at Mania.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's 8 minutes in now and I feel like we have been quite down on this. But this segment was, I thought, was really, really good. They come out, all four guys, in their suits, like even Randy Orton in a suit, which does jar with stuff he's been doing recently.
This is not the Randy Orton we've seen over the last.
No.
This was, as we said, an out-of-canon Randy Orton appearance is what we thought it would be last week, and this was very much out of canon Randy Orton.
It straddled, it's the story of the show, it straddled being a nostalgia out of canon show while trying to, because he was still heelish and still talking about cementing his legacy, but he was also in a suit hugging everyone.
Yeah, and although full credit to this segment, at least they didn't beat up a tag team and completely bury them, so you know, thumbs up to that, I
Sorry,
guess.
Revival.
Sorry, yes. It was better than Raw 25.
Yeah. So that they come out, and there's a moment on the top of the ramp where Triple H hugs Batista. And I thought, oh, that's nice. Yeah, I want to see them be friends and go for it. And they come down, and they all stand in the ring, and they each have a bit of promo time. Triple H, a remarkably brief promo.
I've written here, Triple H says some stuff.
Yeah.
Because what he said, there was no fruit to it whatsoever. Like, he literally was like, hello, and then passed the mic over to Ric Flair.
And Flair said he said, I'm here at SmackDown 1000. I'm more familiar with the number 10,000,
nice.
Which is his figure in his head of the amount of women he's slept with.
Yeah.
Which was one of my favourite stories of last year. The amount of women who have had a mission to Space Mountain,
yeah.
Which is what Ric Flair calls the act of having sex with Ric Flair. And I can't remember who did it now, but a website really dove into the numbers and was like, this is... Unless sex was his full-time job.
Which it more or less was.
Yeah, where he was like having sex with three different women a day. Not counting.
I could believe it. I genuinely could believe it.
This is going to be good.
Ric Flair has said that wrestling, like, he loves wrestling, but it was all about the partying. Like, the stories he tells about wrestling are never about, I had this great match with this person, I had this amazing feud with this person. It was like, I had a match, and then we went out and partied, and we partied until, you know, 4 the next afternoon, and then we would drive to the next town and do a show, I don't know who it was with, and then I would party again, and I would just drink all day long.
That's his gimmick,
man, yeah, and he lives the gimmick.
But, you know, I'm glad that people like Ric Flair exist, but I think that it's going to become increasingly problematic.
I think that when Ric Flair does sadly leave this mortal coil, he does need to be experimented on to find out how he is still alive.
Definitely.
Or how he lived for so long.
I mean, he nearly died last year. I forget about that.
Yeah.
With surgery complications. So Ric Flair has that funny promo. Randy Orton, I was like, God, where are they going to go with this? Because he's been this great heel the last couple of months. And he starts to do a babyface promo with Evolution, but then he's like, hey, you know, I'm actually the only one still doing stuff here. Like, you know, you're
running the show.
Yeah, Flair is living vicariously through Charlotte, and Batista just sits in a makeup chair all day long.
Yeah.
So that was at least a bit of continuity.
In a multi-billion-dollar movie. Like, it's one thing to say, if Batista had a unsuccessful Hollywood career, then I could almost see the point where it's like, and you make loads of money by sitting...
It's a heel promo!
I know, it falls apart. Heel promos only really work if they actually have a point.
Yeah, which is why The Miz is... Yeah, you end up rooting for him. Very legitimate concerns.
Yeah.
But then they pass the mic over to Batista.
Yes.
And this was already like... Just, it felt so organic, these four guys, when they were talking and the chemistry in the ring.
And they broke character at one point, because Batista just has this off-the-cuff line that none of the other three were expecting. The crowd reacted big to it, and they all, like, broke into laughter.
Triple H, like, had to turn away from the hard cam because he was... Well, they called it breaking in America, don't they? But we call it corpsing.
Yes.
Laughing when you're not meant to.
And I thought it was lovely. And it felt like Batista hadn't been given a script or anything to say. It was just like, here's a microphone. Go out there. And he's like, I've got 4 points I want to make. First of all, I'm happy to be here. Second of all, this is my hometown. Third thing I want to talk about, you fans are all brilliant. Even when you booed me, when you cheered me, when you called me Blue Teaster and Boo Teaster, I loved it.
Big cheers,
And I was just so happy to be here. And then fourth reason I wanted to be here is these three guys. And he says, putting over these three guys, like, you know, Ric Flair is a legend, Randy Orton's the youngest world heavyweight champion of all time, just like, you know, putting over his, and then Triple H, he's done everything in this business, everything there is to do except beat me. And the crowd all of a sudden go, oh, because it turned.
Oh, it was
the segment
great.
Turned. It was really good, because it really was the same. We were like, oh, it's so great to be here. And then all of a sudden, wrestling angle, like, it was, oh, it was wonderfully done.
It's that awesome switch that live performances can have, like that, or just any great piece of drama.
And Triple H sold this so well.
I feel bad now for calling them a bad actor, but he's a bad actor in the subtle realm of movies. But like here, his acting was sublime.
So good.
He just had this such a subtle look on his face of, you what, mate?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, but Ric Flair does this stupid dance in between them. Like, don't fight, guys.
And they laugh
and they hug and they're all celebrating. But then the camera goes on Triple H again and he's like, You're not getting away with that.
Yeah. I called it in my WrestleMania review. I called it in my SmackDown review, WrestleMania stare intensifies. Because he really all of a sudden had this look on his face. It was like, oh, we're building to a WrestleMania match. I want everyone in here to know we're having a WrestleMania match. But again, it really does strike that chord of the best built matches in WWE this year have all been around Triple H. Triple H and The Undertaker was a brilliantly booked and told story leading into Super Showdown and into Crown Jewel and now into WrestleMania next year.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone else is just, you're on the show and you have your matches.
I've been thinking about this, and I don't think it's as simple as a case of, oh, well, he's Triple H, he wants to give himself all the best stuff.
No.
Like, it's not that. I think it's more of a case of, I know I can do this. I trust myself to go out there and have these unscripted segments and build these long-term storylines and have multiple feuds going at once, big feuds, because he's got the Brothers of Destruction stuff as well. Like, I trust myself to do that because I'm Triple H. But I don't necessarily trust all these other guys. Like, they haven't proved it enough yet because they haven't given the opportunity.
That's it.
That's why they have to do the scripted thing. So I think most people in WWE management are doing what they think is right. Unfortunately, it's also quite stifling.
Yeah, and I would say to that as well, as an addendum to that, is that I'd imagine Vince looks at these guys and we're like, well, they're stars. Mm. Like, we need to push these guys. Like, these guys sell tickets. They are legitimate draws. So obviously we're going to give them all the big time matches. And then, they're not here all the time. Like, these guys over here, you're people who are there week in and week out. You're not treating them like stars. They're just on the show. Whereas these guys over here, you just, you know, show up for your big four pay-per-views or your Saudi Arabia shows or what have you. They're just, you know, they're the stars.
Yeah. Batista's delivery was really, really good.
I thought it was great.
Particularly his, when he was talking about Washington, D.C. and how he was, you know, he was a poor kid growing up. He saw more violence than anyone should have to see. He was a bouncer downtown. And just like, he got to the top. It was really, really genuine.
It was great.
That bit that you were talking about with Ric Flair. I can't remember what Flair did, but Batista just goes, keep it in your pants.
Yeah,
this is a family show, and that's what made everyone
joke.
It's
because he went to do, like, he put over Flair, and Flair went to do a fist bump, but Batista didn't see it. And it was all this awkward, like, oh, he did see. And then Batista looked, so he went to do it again, but Batista didn't notice it again. So it was this really, like, cute, awkward moment between them. And then they did the fist bump, and he was like, yeah, keep that thing away from me. Keep that thing in your pants.
Yeah, well, it should be Randy you're looking out for, allegedly. This is the perfect balance of nostalgia and actual substance. I don't think you could, there are a few better examples in recent times of this. Really good stuff.
If it was me, and I would, I'd been the one, I'd like you, I'd have built this around Batista's return as opposed to an Evolution return. And then you have, like, maybe you could have Randy Orton come down and you have Ric Flair. And you do it as, like, an incremental surprise, building up to Triple H coming down. And that's when you have the killer line of, you've done everything in this business except for beat me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity, dog. Wrestle Ramble is taking over the Prince Charles Cinema on November 13th, 2018 for a live podcast recording along with a special screening of one of the greatest wrestling documentaries of all time, Beyond the Mat.
Since you are able to regurgitate, you know, on command, it just seems to me that it's pretty logical that you should be puke.
Ollie El Fakador and myself will be in attendance to watch the film and meet everyone who comes along, as well as record a live episode of the podcast with your Q's and RAs.
You make it sound like you don't even want to live.
There's time that I know. There's a lot of times I don't.
But this won't just be any old screening of Beyond the Mat. No, no, no. This will be a wrestle-along screening. We want to create the atmosphere of a wrestling show inside the cinema screen. That means that we want you to bring your signs, bring your costumes, and bring your chants.
He's got a pew! He's got a pew!
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to meet you all there. That's November 13th at the Prince Charles Cinema in London. Wrestle-along screening of Beyond the Mat, along with a live podcast record of Wrestle Ramble. Tickets are available now from PrinceCharlesCinema.com, but they are going fast.
Gave up Wall Street for. Wall Street wasn't fun. Wrestling is fun.
That's PrinceCharlesCinema.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
So SmackDown 1000, SmackDown CN. Where was Andrade Almo?
Wait, that's CN 100.
100.
Yes.
Okay. Doesn't work as well.
No.
They open with a video package of lots of famous moments from SmackDown's past, and this was like, you know, this was really nice because I was brought up on SmackDown as a wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have Sky Sports, which was what was what it was broadcast on over here in the UK, but I did have Sky One. So every Thursday morning, between I think it was 11 a.m. and 1 p.m., SmackDown would be on, a heavily edited version, mostly shots of the crowd as people were hit by chairs.
Saturday mornings as well was when you get your SmackDown. So I used to go to my friend's house because we've never had Sky in our house because Rupert Murdoch's evil. But we used to I'd go over to his house and enjoy the fruits of him paying for paying the devil. So we would go over there and watch the highlights from SmackDown. So I like you, I was cool, like had this nice, you know, good heavy diet of SmackDown. And actually this video package kind of like reflected that because the majority of the highlights here were like late 90s, early 2000s, mid 2000s, and then nothing else. It was all like, hey, wasn't Rey Mysterio great? Wasn't Eddie great? Wasn't JBL great? Wasn't the Attitude Era great? And yeah, and then there's other stuff over here. Then there's like another 10 years that we're not showing.
It's a bit of an indictment. I mean, it's quite easy to forget that SmackDown was nothing for about, you know, six, seven years there.
Yeah, it really was.
It was just the Raw replay show.
Yeah.
And it was only in 2016 when they changed that.
Yeah, where, with it the really started to fall off the...
We didn't used to review SmackDown. That's a recent thing.
Yeah.
Because it was just nothing happened on it.
It's now a relevant show again.
Yeah. And they treated it as such. Like, all those big stars were on
Raw.
On Raw, yeah. Or like they existed before 2009.
Yeah, remember that period in time when like Raw became the super show. So it had both Raw and SmackDown guys, but then SmackDown just had the SmackDown guys, and it was such a rubbish show to watch because nothing happened.
Yeah, it
didn't, week to week, it was awful.
Yeah, and it was like it wasn't just nothing happened. It was whatever did happen, you'd already seen on Raw, and it wouldn't matter. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But one of my favourite bit that they included, which I think is a rather odd choice, but I'm happy they did, twice in video recap packages, Big Boss Man stealing Big Show's dad's coffin and running it around the funeral. One of the all-time most ridiculous fantastic angles.
It's so, I mean, like, Big Boss Man is involved in two of my favorite, like, utterly ridiculous Attitude Era angles.
That's a heel.
That is a heel. It was him stopping Big Show's dad's funeral. Do you remember the poem he did on Raw about this as well?
Yeah.
He was reading out the poem about how he's glad that his dad's dead, like, or how his dad's glad that he's dead because his son's such an idiot. Oh, the Big Boss Man was awesome. And when he kidnapped Al Snow's dog, killed it, and turned it into, like, chili and fed it to Al Snow, which South Park did as a gag.
One of the best videos ever.
Scott Tenenbaum must die. And yeah, so I was really happy that that was there. But some of my other highlights that were in this: Rhino goring Jericho through the through the screen. Vince McMahon winning the WWF Championship. That was early days SmackDown as well. That was like episode 20 or so. Stephanie McMahon winning the Women's Championship, which she held for a long, long time. Time.
She invented women, so
yeah,
that's where it began.
Teddy Long's ride with The Undertaker, Teddy Longface.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, and my personal favourite is Austin and Booker T in their supermarket brawl. Press check on Jackass. So good.
So yeah, SmackDown used to be even more fun than it was today.
So my friend, like, this, this takes me back. My friend was not a fan of wrestling whatsoever. Like, he just had no interest in it. But he, to this day, will say it's one of the funniest things he's ever seen is that Austin and Booker T. And he knows, like, almost line for line the things that happened within it. He was like, oh, do you remember that fight in the supermarket? It's so funny. And it really was good.
Well, sticking with the McMahon focus of just WWE in general and that opening video package, Truth TV opened the show with special guest Stephanie McMahon.
This awful entrance music. As soon as I heard that music, I was like, oh, dearie me.
Did you get flashbacks?
Yeah, I did, yeah. BTS. Like Vietnam flashbacks. Truth also had this funny line where it was like, oh, this Truth TV's been on SmackDown for years now.
Yeah.
And Carmella had to be like, yeah, we've only had one show and we got cancelled off the back of it. But they did have...
Well, then Truth interrupts and goes, dance break.
Dance break, yeah. And then he went to introduce the new man, but then thought we should have another dance break. Byron Saxton is so dorky during these dance breaks because he loves it.
Yeah.
He's like, I wish the whole show was dance breaks.
Anyways. So does Vince McMahon, probably, the amount he does dance offs.
Yeah.
The Truth's introduction was great. He did it's like such a simple, overused gag, but Truth is very good at delivering these lines. My next guest needs no introduction. Okay. And then, yeah, Stephanie McMahon comes out.
And she says that she's the first GM of SmackDown. And then who should return but Shane McMahon? And I'm with Corey Graves on this one. Where the hell have you been? Where the hell have you been, Shane?
Yeah, they haven't really explained that.
Joe was trying to invade AJ's house, Shane. Where have you been? What you been up to for these last 8 months?
Delegation. It's one of the great tools that Shane has in his arsenal.
That's exactly what Todd Phillips says.
Yeah,
he said he's been running the show from behind the scenes, been helping Paige, which is...
Doesn't want to overshadow her.
No, absolutely not, no. And he does, you know, what's up, Washington? And then he welcomes Stephanie to the A Show.
I thought he had a good promo.
Well, like, he's had 8 months to practice
it. Yeah, like, Shane, I was very down on Shane for the last... well, year of his SmackDown run.
Yeah.
But I thought he was very good here in his delivery.
I liked Stephanie's retort when Shane says, welcome to the A Show. And Stephanie's like, I mean, it is a show.
Yeah. That, like, they're similar to the Evolution segment. I thought their chemistry together and the way they interrupted each other was, like, really, really organic. And it felt cool.
They're allowed to do it.
They're allowed to do it. It's a shame. But Stephanie especially... she will talk over other people's bits.
Oh, she loves doing
that. No one else can get away with that.
She loves talking over people or trying to make snide comments about people while they're doing their entrance or something.
Yeah, like talk over the entrance music. And like a lot of the time it's annoying.
It falls flat a lot of the time as well.
But I thought this was... It came across really well.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're bickering. It feels organic. No chance hits.
Do you know, you talk about the ends of the spectrum of great and awful entrance music. Yeah. Like, Stephanie McMahon's is one of the worst entrance themes of all time. Like, top five worst themes of all time. Vince McMahon, you're talking top five best of all time.
Jim
Johnson.
Oh,
it's an amazing song.
I mean, I love Shane McMahon's music. Here comes the money.
Oh, you're that guy.
Hey.
No, I'm with you, it's fine.
But yeah, Vince McMahon comes out looking, you know, old.
Yeah, I mean, so one of our website writers, Andy Datson, is in the office today, and he was watching a Big Show thing on WWE.com. He was like, oh, he looks like an old man. I was like, it's because he is an old man.
Yeah.
And Vince looks old because, yeah, he's an old man now.
It's a good, he's so no, it looks like he's shrunk in the wash a bit. From the, I always think of, like, the oldest Vince in my head is 2006, I guess.
Yeah.
So everything after. Oh, no, when he had that match against CM Punk. That's like the last.
Did he have a match with CM Punk?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember, I know they did the angle and everything. Did they have a match?
Yeah, they had a match on Raw.
God, I don't remember that whatsoever.
So it was about 2011, maybe.
Cranky.
And, yeah, but he comes out and he does a dance break.
Yeah, because the story is, apparently the rumor and innuendo, is that Vince McMahon and R-Truth are, like, you know, really close and chummy in real life, because Vince has said R-Truth is the funniest person he's ever met in his life. So it almost makes sense that this segment's his. Like, when he hugged R-Truth in the ring, I was like, oh, yeah, do you remember that story about how, like, he thinks that Truth is legitimately the funniest person he's ever met?
Well, there's that famous backstage image, isn't there, of them, like, Vince, just the happiest, most busting a gut laughter I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's R-Truth who's obviously told the joke.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to see that odd couple. Where's that ride along?
Where's that on the WWE network?
Yeah.
Maybe like fly along where he could be on the plane.
Of course. I was just a bit disappointed that Vince didn't break in the stand back.
Well, I was disappointed that this didn't build to anything.
It, like, just stopped.
Yeah, it just it literally just stopped and ended. Again, maybe it ran longer than it was supposed to.
Mm.
But
so that's the, apparently it did, that and Evolution.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right, well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But I thought maybe they'll announce a match or something. Or, like, there's a tag match later on for the titles. And they said, like, oh, it was Paige and all the old SmackDown GMs booked this match together. I was like, why don't you just do this here in the ring, use this segment to build to something later in the show. As it was, like, I made this joke throughout the SmackDown review, which hasn't gone live yet, but I'm going to assume everyone hated, is just going cameo, because that's what the show felt like.
A lot of it, yeah.
And I'd imagine that, and this segment really was just like cameo.
Yeah, though it didn't. It's very similar to, I mean, Raw 25, terrible show, but what an opening segment.
Yeah.
With Vince McMahon and Stone Cold, Shane was in there as well.
Stunners all around.
Oh, yeah. So that was remarkable, but it did not build to anything. So in isolation, very good, but, you know, no substance. Whereas Evolution's reunion had all that, and it had some fantastic substance.
Yeah.
Next up, we got AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. Of course, they will fight at Crown Jewel for the WWE Championship, and they did the gimmick of, well, now they'll have to work together in a tag match against the Usos. I would have liked to reason why, but, well, you know, fair enough.
I mean, my first note here is just, talk about a match I didn't know I wanted to see. Because, like, when the Usos came out, I was like, I'm so into watching this match.
Ah, okay. I got the, like, oh, man, the Usos have fallen so far down the card.
Oh, really?
They won here, so that's good. But, like, you know, where have the Usos been? And it's not their fault. Like, what else can they do? They stole 2017. And then they play second fiddle to the Bludgeon Brothers and get lost in a very stacked SmackDown tag division. They need to go to Raw immediately.
It's funny, actually, you say that. Like, I put up a tweet yesterday about the Evolution Battle Royal, of just being like, well, you know, the rest of the women's division is just being put into this one match. And someone, like, I had quite a few people tweet back to me, it's like, well, they can't all have storylines. And that's exactly what the tag team division is. Like, you look at the Usos, like, they can't all have storylines.
No one says that about other shows.
No, I know.
Well, it can't be entertaining all the time.
Kind of, all of them can't have storylines.
So, yeah, this was the Usos versus AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. It was, like, really lively crowd. There was a really nice spot where AJ locked in the calf crusher on one Uso. Daniel Bryan got the yes sock on another.
Yeah.
And that was, like, going right into the ad break. I thought that was one of the more effective. We're going into a break.
SmackDown rolls on.
Just before. But yeah, the finish was Bryan accidentally collides with AJ and he turns right round into a double superkick and takes the loss. So I like that the Usos won. I would have liked the commentary to put over more that they won because they are a team all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as great as AJ and Bryan are individually.
I think Corey was saying that throughout the match.
That's good.
And what I liked about this is that last week, this feud, when, like, you know, that was the first part of this feud, they were on Miz TV and they were just joking with The Miz, making fun of The Miz. And it was all about Daniel Bryan being like, you know, this is all joking and everything, but I am going to win at Crown Jewel. And AJ was like, yeah, I mean, you're a nice guy and everything, but I am going to win at Crown Jewel. And it was kind of, it was this very friendly rivalry. This almost now is kind of like, it's the end of the friendly rivalry now. Yeah. And now we can go into something different. And I think that's quite a nice curve to take this on for the next couple of weeks before we get to the show. So I quite like the outcome of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got no disagreement with the dynamic shift, and I just I just don't see why they had to work together in a tag match. I'm not super down on it. It's just I don't think it was effective as it could have been. Plus, what left a bad taste in my mouth at the end, like Byron Saxton is asking on commentary, "Ah, but what about their friendship?" and we call the women's division out for it all the time, so we have to do it here as well. Who gives a crap?
Yeah.
Like, they're fighting for the WWE title. They're going to combust at some point. Like, what? Not every... And where is this Brian-AJ friendship? That's never been alluded to before.
You're just supposed to know, mate.
So, yeah, stop making it out like everyone's friends backstage. They should be all at each other's throats. You should have very professional rivalry. I'm done with that.
I completely agree with you.
Then we get a backstage segment with Paige, just, you know, no talking, but Paige is with Vicky Guerrero. Then Teddy Long just comes in and starts doing his thing. And then John Laurinaitis walks in and just points to the ceiling in the white suit.
Yep. People power. Cameo.
So, yeah, like I don't fully understand why adults would just start dancing in front of a camera randomly.
Hey, man, but it's a celebration.
But I'm one of the few John Laurinaitis fans, so I really did pop for him. I thought he was awesome.
Yeah.
Evolution segment next, which we discussed. Mm-hmm. Then The Miz versus Rusev.
Well, before that, we got The Rock sent a tweet
yes.
to say, you know, congrats SmackDown. So that was nice.
Nice to have you, Rock.
Nice for your secretary to write that tweet out for you and post it. And that I think was kind of like my big... I said this in the review, and I don't want to get into final thoughts just yet, but like, I didn't think this worked particularly as a celebration of SmackDown, because all the guys I would associate with SmackDown weren't really there. Like, Rock wasn't there, Cena wasn't there, JBL wasn't there.
JBL's a good one.
They didn't do a video package for Eddie Guerrero. You know, like, Ray was there, but, you know, he had his match with Nakamura and Edge and Batista, but Batista was more about the Evolution thing, so it never really felt like a celebration of SmackDown.
And Kurt Angle as well. Was just like
he was just there.
Deployed.
Yeah,
but yeah, blink and you miss him. I mean, he was on commentary here.
I genuinely forgot he was there as well.
Yeah, so Kurt was on commentary for The Miz versus Rusev because I liked how they gave a reason for it, because the crown, this is was a Crown Jewel qualifier. Kurt Angle has qualified for that World Cup
to determine the best.
But you know, of all the people who didn't need a reason to be... It's like Kurt deserves a segment all by himself with someone.
Yeah, again, he was one of those guys that was really putting SmackDown on the map when they first did the brand split, and they wanted to make SmackDown... Like, Paul Heyman was determined to make SmackDown feel like a big deal.
Yeah, a bit of a Paul Heyman promo would have been nice as well.
Yeah, it's actually a good shout,
I mean, you know, Brock's expensive, but...
Yeah.
And maybe he would have done it out the good of his heart.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Rock... I thought, is that it?
Yeah.
When Rock tweeted, and then I, like, even at the end of the show, I was like, okay, well, Undertaker, and maybe The Rock does something as well?
Well, it didn't even get, like, a, you know, live via satellite thing that John Cena did later on.
So Rock did, was it the 10th anniversary, or the 15th? Rock did a recorded message with all these belts at home. And that was great. That was a really good promo. So, yeah, not even a pre-recorded thing.
Yeah, he's busy. Mm. He's a busy man. Anyway, Aiden English ran down literally as soon as the match basically started, and he tripped Rusev, and then Rusev got rolled up by Miz. Match did go about 30 seconds, if that. And then afterwards, Lana low-blowed Aiden English because he's an idiot and didn't run away. He literally stood there with his legs apart, like you were asking for it, mate.
Well, I tell you who did run away. As soon as Miz made the pin, he bolted out there. Have you seen the gif that's doing the rounds?
No.
When he... Because, like... Aiden's just standing there with his hands up in the air after he's cost Rusev the victory. Miz runs past him, jumps up, high fives English in one fell swoop, and then keeps on running.
That's amazing.
It's great. It's very good.
Yeah, and then the I got an email from someone. I don't know if they watched the Ramble or if they just watched the news. I'm assuming they watched the Ramble, but they sent an email to say that Aidan English's T-shirt makes no sense because Rusev has got the Bulgarian flag and Lana has got the Russian flag, even though she's not Russian, although her character was at one point. But he said, I don't know why Aiden's has got the Argentinian flag. And it's and he said, like, as best I can tell, he's from Chicago. And like, and I'm guessing that he didn't mean it like ironically. It's just that, yeah, you know, he is from Chicago and it's the Chicago colours. That's why he's got that.
Oh, okay.
I think he was genuinely confused. There you go. Yeah.
Good to clear that up.
Yeah. So I thought I would do this on rather than the podcast.
But Rusev beats up Aiden and chucks him into the steel steps and over the table, and then the segment just ends.
And it cut to the back so quickly. It was like he barely got over the table, and they were like, cut, we need to get to the back. And it was there with Kurt Hawkins talking to Edge. They were once he was once a lackey for Edge.
An edgehead.
He was an edgehead with Zack Ryder, and he's on his phone, he's got a picture of Zack Ryder like trying to call and be like, hey, do you want to take this call with Zack Ryder? And Edge is going, no. He's like doing the, no, let's not do that.
Which is weird, because apparently Zack Ryder was backstage. So I don't know why they just didn't. Surely they could have worked out a funny thing with them all together.
He's getting ripped for 205 Live. He's got to lose some weight, mate.
Then we got the Edge segment, so the Cutting Edge talk show with Charlotte and Becky. Well, it was with Becky Lynch mainly. And Edge comes down. Man, I love Edge.
He's so
great entrance music.
He was so. Oh, that's a great song as well. A bit of Alter Bridge. He looked so happy to be there. But the highlight for this for me though was Tony Chimmel back.
Superstar.
And he did it on, but I loved it. Absolutely loved it. That gave me some, like, yes, that's awesome. And then he comes down, and he's, like, talking about how, like, SmackDown really felt like his show. You know, he cashed in on Undertaker, won his hit the World Heavyweight Championship. He had that no DQ match with Eddie. He married Vicky. He divorced Vicky.
Way.
However, that's been pointed out that happened on Raw. So he didn't divorce Vicky on SmackDown at all. But then this is where the segment took a bit of a turn for me. He's like, I'm here to be SmackDown's moral compass. Because he brings out Becky Lynch.
As soon as he said that, I thought, you're against Becky.
That's what I thought. I was like, no. And he brings out Becky Lynch and they sit down. He's like, I see a lot of myself in you. You know, I wasn't on the posters. I wasn't supposed to be at the top of the card, but I fought to get there. And like you, I lost a lot of friendships. I burned every bridge I possibly could. But you know what happens when you get to the top? You find out it's a lonely place. And when you're at home later on in your life and you're looking at all those championships that you won, you'll be alone and you won't like yourself. And the crowd start chiming for Becky because she's awesome. And Becky just said, like, yeah, you're right. I don't like myself. I love myself. And the crowd, great, Becky, right? Becky, yeah. Because everyone is really into Becky apart from this bloody company.
Yes.
It's so infuriating.
So this was like, on paper, this is great.
Yeah.
Like, this is like Edge's moral compass promo. And the story of someone turning on their friends to get the championships, all great. And I thought, well, why isn't it working then? And it is, you're right, it's because we are all into Becky as a badass. So, and we never really bought into the Charlotte-Becky relationship. And I thought, well, how would this work? And I thought, if they did this sort of angle after Kevin Owens turned on Chris Jericho, I'd have been like, you're damn right, Kevin Owens is the worst human being. Because I bought into him as a heel. That was like the most emotionally affected I've been in years from a WWE storyline. But yeah, it's just, they're telling a great story with the wrong person.
It's the Roman Reigns thing all over again.
It's Roman Reigns, so it's... And yet, like, I don't know how they cannot hear these crowd reactions. It's quite demonstrably the wrong thing they're doing. And Becky has this killer line after she says... I don't like myself. I love myself. Now get out of my ring. Don't hurt your neck on the way out.
And we're meant to, like, they want us to boo that, but we're like, no, that's a really great line. Like, that's a badass line. And it's so funny because we're doing Bad Blood 97 for Wrestle Ramble Extra, and I was watching it a bit of earlier, so we're going to record later on. And That was like very early in like Austin's run when he was starting to catch fire. Like, he'd won the IC belt, but he got injured and he had his neck broken by Owen Hart. But the crowd was still really, really behind him. And he comes out during the Owen Hart and Farouk match, and he starts essentially like raising hell. But you've got all the commentators there going like, God, he's the worst. God, I hate this guy. He's really, really awful. And yet the crowd are just like, he's the best. Absolutely love this man. He is the best. And they picked up upon that and were like, right, okay, well, let's start. He can just carry on what he's doing, but we're just going to pretend that he's a babyface and act like he's a babyface. And it worked. And you just got to look at this company and be like, you know this works. Like, it's, you've literally got a track record of this working, and you're ignoring it.
Yeah.
Because then Charlotte comes out, booed heavily because she comes out and says that no one likes Becky when we do. And then they have a fight, and the crowd boo when Charlotte is winning and cheer when Becky is winning. And it's just, it's not working the way they want it to work. And yet they're so determined to make it work the way they want it to work. And it's a real shame.
Yeah, and Edge just Thanos is away.
Yeah, it's so frustrating.
And then they hard cut again. Like, it's very, you know, like, it felt like, it's not the kind of frantic cutting, it's the kind of, ooh, this is a bit clunky, cutting to another thing, where Rey Mysterio is backstage hugging Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
You're Jeff, right, mate. That
cameo.
Was nice.
It was nice. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention on that Becky promo was Edge literally, like, did a Return of the Jedi. Like, he was like Luke Skywalker looking at Darth Vader going like, I see the good in you. And yeah, it was just nice. I thought it was I'm pretty sure it was meant to be a Return of the Jedi in reference.
So then we got other than Evolution, my favorite bit of the show, The Bar and The New Day had a corking match.
Yeah, they did. Went through two commercial breaks.
I wish it didn't. I wish it was only one commercial break,
because that second one was like the actual wrestling in between the breaks was about a minute and a half.
Yeah, like, could you not put that break somewhere else?
Yeah,
because this was like, it really deserved me to see more of it.
Yeah,
like, I enjoyed all the stuff that was happening, but yeah,
it was really like disjointed. My favorite bit of this match, though, and when I mean my favorite bit, obviously it's not my favorite bit, just the bit that made me howl with laughter, is because they've got Jerry Lawler and Booker T doing commentary, and they're sat behind the pancake table. And, you know, Jerry Lawler and Booker T, they're going like, wait, blah, 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 you know, it's good to be here, SmackDown 1000. And then they start doing the match. Then the camera cuts to Jerry and Booker doing commentary, but they're not doing commentary. They're just watching the match, but they're meant to be doing commentary. And all of a sudden, Jerry goes, oh, are we on? Oh, look at this match. Look at that move right there that he just did.
He jumps half a foot off his seat. It's in the little inset bit in the bottom corner of the screen they show him. And yeah, they're just silent. Oh, yeah, okay, we're on. we're doing commentary. I just, it was like, I like seeing Jerry there. I guess Booker T, fine. But you've got JR under contract, haven't you?
Yeah. Well,
JR and King.
But they were more Raw team. Like even when SmackDown started, it was Jerry and Michael Cole.
Yeah.
So like Jerry and Michael Cole could have like worked there. But like, why didn't you call Taz?
And do
like Michael Cole and Taz. And I said this in the review. This match would have been so great because this really would have straddled that line between a nostalgic show and being, you know, furthering storylines by having Michael Cole and Taz do the commentary for this show. Just them, those two doing the whole commentary.
That would have been great.
And I've said this in review, I never thought I would hear myself say, I really wish Michael Cole was doing commentary for this. But I thought that would have been really nice.
The actual match itself was really fast-paced.
Had to be.
Yeah, because they didn't get actual much TV time, I think, in the live arena they did. Huge Uranage from Big E on Cesaro's neck.
Landed right on his
neck. Right at the start.
Yeah.
Cesaro deadlifts Big E up for a neutralizer later. Loads of near falls. A really, really good one where Sheamus rolled up a member of the New Day and had his feet on the ropes, and Kofi runs past and knocks them off at the perfect time for a near three count.
Yeah, it's really good.
And then the Bar go to put Kofi through the table, but Big Show's music hits.
Yeah, Big Show walks down to the ring. It looks like he's there to protect the New Day because he kind of like scares off the Bar. But then he turns around and he grabs Kofi by the neck and he choke slams him through the table. Another Big Show heel turn. The Bar win the SmackDown Tag Team Championships and they celebrate in the ring with the Big Show. Like both hold, and Big Show's holding up both belts. And I was like, what a weird little faction. I'm so intrigued by it.
Yeah.
It's a weird little faction, but I'm very intrigued to see where it goes.
So yeah, is this a long-term thing, or was this a meta joke on the amount of times Big Show's turned heel? So one review I read was, I'm surprised Big Show didn't turn face at the end and beat them both up again. But I spoke last week about that Randy Orton Big Show main event. I was almost hoping Big Show would align himself with Orton and they create this grizzled old veterans thing and they start beating up loads of youngsters.
Can I give you my here's my wish, my hope, my wishing and hoping.
Oh, go for it.
Is that next week on the show, you'll love this. Next week on the show, they announce that they are dissolving the SmackDown Tag Team Championships and introducing a six-man tag team championship, and that's exclusive to SmackDown. Because on there, you've got, you know, this new Franken team of The Bar and Big Show, Sanity, New Day, and then you could always put together Gallows, Anderson, and AJ Styles. That's four teams already. That's almost more than your SmackDown, like your women's division.
Yeah, I mean, that's I'm not against that. And then maybe even AOP come over with Drake Maverick.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, Lucha House Party from 205 Live, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Stupid name, but they're fantastic.
It is amongst the worst tag team names ever.
Well, but we've got quite a comfortable winner now. Thanks, Trish and Lita. But yes, I thought this was a really good match and, like you said, an intriguing angle. Don't know where they're going to go with it, but it's at least, I want to see what happens.
Did you hear Big Show's reasoning for why he did this? He did a WWE.com interview. Andy Datson played it to me just before I came out, and he simply said, "That's the sort of thing I do."
What? I mean, that's a, with Big Show's character, that's a perfect reason.
Absolutely.
Then we got a pre-recorded promo in a nondescript location.
It was clearly at Super Showdown. Like, the lighting was the Super Showdown lighting.
Ah,
yeah,
of course.
He's wearing the same T-shirt. He hadn't had his hair cut. It was John Cena's haircut, a promo.
Yeah, about the history of SmackDown. I love it when John Cena goes into this mode. Yeah. Like, I'm going to tell you about the history and this, like, story time with John.
Okay, so I've interviewed John Cena. He's one of the few wrestlers I actually have interviewed from WWE. And we asked him, and I felt very awkward because I don't like doing these bits, but you ask someone in a professional interview setting, can you look at the camera and give us a shout-out so we can put it as a bumper at the start and say, can you look at the camera and say, support WrestleTalk, give him a subscribe. John Cena is such a professional.
Yes,
he literally just like goes, knew where the camera was, knew exactly what to do, how to say it, the inflection to do it. He can ad-lib. And I just thought that's what we got here as well. This was literally like, oh, can you record a quick SmackDown like thing we're going to play on SmackDown 1000? He was like, yeah, sure. Boop. And he just knew exactly what to do, exactly what to say, how long to say it for. And it probably done it in one take because he's such a professional. He's such a pro.
Yeah. Which might be why it's not consistent with what happened a few weeks ago, because he does say, I can't wait. You know, SmackDown, I'm going to be a part of it for many years to come. 2 weeks ago, at the end of Super Showdown, you were teasing retirement. Make up your mind, John.
Yeah. Also, I don't think you are going to be around for much longer. Like, not even just the retirement thing.
Around
like,
in spirit.
Around in spirit, absolutely.
But it was quite threatening the way you said that.
It rang as hollow as when The Rock came back and The Rock said, I am never leaving. I'm never going anywhere. And then he wasn't on TV for like a year.
Yeah, that and Kate Winslet in Titanic.
Yeah.
Broken my faith in
never letting go.
Anyone.
Oh, no, I let go.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
The Titanic sinks. Rey Mysterio took on Shinsuke Nakamura in the, I mean, it was the main event match. I felt this was quite rushed. I mean,
it had to be because everything had run long. But I thought as well, these two were not on the same page. I thought this was actually quite a sloppy match.
I thought it was decent. But this is Shinsuke Nakamura and Rey Mysterio. And Mysterio, if you told me Mysterio had a sloppy match in WWE 4 years ago, which was when the last time he was wrestling on SmackDown, then I would have gone, well, yeah, that's, he's injured and he's just not good these days. But he's transformed himself over the last couple of years. The all-in stuff was great. Around the indies when we've seen him do stuff with
Will Ospreay,
New Japan. It's been fantastic. So, yeah, okay, it was a bit of a... It was not what I wanted it to be.
No, there was a nice spot where he did like a penguin slide underneath the bottom rope to do a splash on the outside on Shinsuke. That was really nice. The crowd started chanting, "You still got it," and I was like, "F you guys!" Like he had a great 2018.
Hate that chant.
I hate that chant as well. But yeah, I there was quite a lot of bit of miscommunication, including like Nakamura not even doing the Hurricane Rana into the 619. Like he took the Hurricane Rana and then realized, oh no, wait, I'm meant to do a 619 position. And he almost like got himself up to put him in that position. And Yeah, I don't think it was a particularly great match. And then Nakamura was bleeding from the nose, I'm assuming from the 619 right to the face. But Rey Mysterio qualifies for the World Cup to determine the best in the world.
Yeah, I realized how much I missed Nakamura as well. Like, he's not been on TV or pay-per-views for quite some time.
It's like he needs a championship.
Yeah, right. And just seeing his entrance and his look, I was like, God, he's so good. Like, he should have a storyline, guys. Put him in the Women's Battle Royal. But this was, I thought, again, this had quite a few ad breaks in. How live TV, what I understand about live TV is that if you're approaching the end of your show, you've got so many ad breaks you need to get in. So you're like, okay, let's, quick, we need to cram them all in now. So that might be what happened.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the match is over, Taker's music hits, massive dong, and everyone in the ring, Thanos is away.
Yeah.
Undertaker does he's slightly speedier than usual, slow entrance. He says, I've got three words for you, DX, as opposed to DX's two. I was like, rest in peace. Is it going to be rest in peace?
Yep. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, got it. I mean, you said that on Raw. Like, I don't think he needs to come out and do it here on SmackDown as well. And then he left. And that was the end of the show. I was like, what? I was like, okay, this, and Triple H is going to run out at the end and they're going to do like a big spot at the end of this.
I thought The Rock's music was going to hit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And then, but no, it just ended. The Crown Jewel reference did get boos, though. He said at Crown Jewel and there was a smattering of boos through the crowd. So, there is something.
Well done, Washington. Heart of your country.
But it was, it was so weird. You could just tell that the show had, well, the segments had overran, and that had affected everything else that was on the show. And really, you probably could have, I mean, you had to do it because he was advertised and you promoted it in the show, but it almost didn't need to be here.
I would have taken a Tory Wilson over an Undertaker.
Well, of course you segment. Would have done, yeah.
Yeah, so,
just name your autobiography.
Pacing-wise, not that great, but I really did enjoy it. Sometimes I'm easily impressed, and I just like cameos. And I thought the Evolution stuff was superb. We got a title change, Big Show's whatever number heel turn. So I thought a pretty solid smacktastic for me.
I mean, I was really conflicted on this one, because as I said, I didn't think this worked as a nostalgia show. It also didn't really work as an episode of SmackDown. And what I would say, as much as I thought the Evolution stuff was awesome, like the teasing of Batista and Triple H, I would be amazed if this is a SmackDown feud going forward.
Yeah, good point.
And like, and that's the sort of like, and that's what I mean when I came out the show being like, well, I don't think this is ever going to like pay off on a future episode of SmackDown. They just used SmackDown to start this, and then it's just going to move over to Raw. So SmackDown gains nothing from this, and the other guys and girls that are on that roster gain nothing from it. So it almost felt like, I know if you go by that point, then it was almost a redundant segment in terms of like it being a good episode for SmackDown.
You're taking a Batista Triple H feud Raw. You've taken Tamina. What more do you want from us?
This email comes in from Michael Angotti. Nice short
killing
one.
Killing it with the names today.
Yeah, well, it's
killing it.
Absolutely. He has said, considering how often Ronda Rousey almost or does cry, could it be that we've been hearing it wrong and she's actually the saddest woman on the planet?
I mean, her best friends, the Bella Twins, turned on her. And then Nia Jax kind of, you know, hurt her feelings by wanting to hold on to her championship. Alexa Bliss unfairly snuck in when it was actually all part of the rules of the company. She's got plenty of reason
to be sad about
it. Sorry, thing.
But she'll be smiling when she walks down to the ring. Just don't give her a microphone because that's when the tears start.
Hey, no, that's just her putting on a brave face. We've been saying that smile looks too artificial.
Yeah.
It's because it is, man.
Absolutely.
She's the saddest woman on the planet.
Our good friend Buttered Toast has emailed in his favourite bad joke of all time. Why do seagulls fly over the sea? Because if they flew over the bay, they would be bagels. I thought you might enjoy that one. Yes, you did. Don't lie.
Can I just... I don't know why I want to tell everyone this, but my girlfriend cried at Great British Bake Off last night. just because the Ronda Rousey thing reminded me. It was not completely out of the blue. But it wasn't even someone... Someone just made a... Their Danish pastry didn't go as well as it should have done, and she was legit crying, tears coming out of her eyes. So yeah. I just wanted to... Yeah, I just think that's ridiculous.
We've got an agony arts request. Ooh, okay. From Vacant. Wanted to write in for some advice. So I'm currently enrolled in my first year of university and I have a psychology class. There's a
fresher! That's just started.
Yeah. There's this girl in my class who I've become friends with. I'm 18 and she is 24.
Oh.
We have a test coming up this week and she messaged me and asked if I would like to study. I said, sure, sounds cool. I will now copy and paste her message. Okay, cool. Come over to my house around 1. No one will be here, but me and you can study and we can hang out a little bit and see where it goes. With a winky face.
Holy moly.
Emoticon. I know, emoji, I think it is.
If it's animated.
Yeah, it's like the Android one. So I think.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if they're different. She's dropped several more hints like this, and I'm just wondering if I'm reading a little bit too much into this. Because the way it's coming across, if she wants to be pretty much come over and jog, as you guys call it. Anyway, any advice would be greatly appreciated. Much love from the USA. Thank you very much for your email, Vacant. I'd imagine by the time we've actually read this out, you'd have gone over to study and perhaps jog. So maybe our advice will be fruitless at this point. But I mean, my advice would just be, just go over there and, as you said, see where it goes.
She might
just mean come over here and watch House on Haunted Hill or whatever it's called on Netflix. That show that you've recommended that I watch, and me and my wife are going to start very soon.
Yeah, I want to start it when I finish Maniac.
Yep.
That's juicy. That is.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you, friend. I don't know why I get so excited about the potential for other people getting laid.
It's because it's a 5-year relationship itch that you've
it's
got.
It's a subject close to my heart. Yeah, I mean, that message to me certainly sounds like she wants
to jog.
To jog.
Yeah.
But I have always gone into every relationship thinking I'm putting them out. And I think that's a really good way to approach everything.
I like it.
Because you never assume anything.
Yeah.
And then you're always happy. Because if it doesn't happen, okay, fair enough. Like, I thought I was, yeah, just confirms that I'm an asshole. And then if something does happen, you're like, oh, bonus, love.
Yes, very nice.
So, yeah.
We've got another Agony Arts request here from Vacant. I'm still torn up about something that happened almost 27 years ago.
Wow.
Me and my best mate had a split after being best pals for nearly 7 years. When we split, we got into a fight and I threw him through a window of my friend's barbershop.
Okay.
A few months later, I hooked up with a co-worker's wife. That didn't last too long before we split. I even had to take some time off because I lost my smile. Over the years, I've grown as a person and have come to regret some of my bad decisions. Throughout the years, I still think I'm cute. I know I'm sexy. I've got the looks that drive the girls wild. I've got the moves that really move them, and I send chills up and down their spine. Please help if you can. I don't want to lose my smile again.
Well, screw you, man. for saying that is, I don't think it's 27 years ago, but it's near about.
Mm.
That was a long time ago.
One of our Discord mods
feel old.
Said in reference to someone like being like, oh, you're very good at your job. He said, you need to respect my authority. And I was like, oh, that's neat. That's a really cute South Park reference. And then I suddenly thought, that episode probably came out quite a few years before he was actually born.
Mm.
And then that made me feel very old because I think I was a teenager. Yeah. When that was on. Before we get out of here, actually, we've got a bit more time. I would like to read you. This is very nice. This is quite unique. This is a Rusev Hay in the form of a Poetry Corner submission.
Oh, I like these ones where they merge the corners.
Yes. So this is from Connor's Cure Curan. It's entitled My Awkward Toilet Queue. There I was, stood in the stands, watching the show, a spectacle so grand, a near sellout, a show so good, deservedly so, as parts I stood. Then came the end and I had to go, the toilet was calling my name, ever so. Come for me and we, you've had a drink, one, two or three, the witch's cackle, come to entice me in. It stops to rhyme now. It was clear that I'd had one too many gin. And on my way in, I was stopped in my tracks by a security guard who was dressed all in black. He told me the toilets were out of order. He sent me some just around the corner. And that's when I saw him, so big, so bold, walking straight towards me, a heart made of gold. I screamed his name like the idiot I am, but I'd already committed, best be hung for a sheep as a lamb. I shook his hand and thanked him for everything, admiring his mighty ginger beard. Oh, God, I hope I'm not blushing. His velvet voice thanked me for what I'm not sure, as he was part of a team that I truly adore.
I realized, sorry, carry on.
He made my night just by saying hello, but the urge was real and I had to go. We parted ways, but not for too long, as that security guard was pretty headstrong. He sent me back to join my queue. Behind he stood and the awkwardness began to ensue. He assured me he wasn't following me, just he had to go, and when you've got to go, you've got to go. The queue was moving, but moving so slow. We chatted about not much. Me being drunk was quite the crutch. Of all the things I wanted to say, I didn't have wasted my Rusev day. We parted again, this time for good. Time to wonder what should or could. But I got what I wanted, just a handshake. For that was the day I met El Fakador, Laurie Blake.
Well, well, well. I wouldn't shake his hand.
I was at the Progress Show and I just wanted to share that moment. I met Laurie, a really nice guy. There was so much more I wanted to say, but I wanted to meet both Luke and Ollie too, but I think I kept missing you guys. Thanks for all the great content. I'm so happy for the NXT reviews. Hopefully we can get them as consistent as the rest of the contents until we meet again. Fellow Pledge Hammer, Connor's Cure Karan. Thank you very much. What an excellent little Rusev hey in the style of a poetry corner.
That's so meta because it's two bits about us as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first time there's been a Rusev hey with a member of the WrestleTalk team.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
And before we get out of here, let's just have, I like to end our shows with a WrestleTalk Get Better.
Oh, okay.
And this is a really lovely one. This is from Cody Buckingham. It says, hi, Luke and Ollie. Hope this email gets to you before you record the Raw reviews today, as it's 2:30 a.m. here in California. Longtime SWAF Nation member, will be a future Pledge Hammer starting this month once payday comes around this week. Also, I was super stoked that you and Ollie discussed my tweet on the SmackDown review last week regarding the New Day. Made me pop in my car on the long drive from home. I have a WrestleTalk Get Better update for you guys regarding mental health issues and how the WrestleRamble podcast as well as WrestleTalk on YouTube helped me deal with my life lately. So in order to make a long story as concise as possible, I will do my best to get to the point. I'm a 25-year-old male who has suffered from severe depression for a lot of my life. I've battled with identity issues, self-confidence issues, and overall self-worth issues. One constant in my life has been my fiancé, whom I've been dating consistently now for 9 years. Yes, Ollie, high school sweethearts are real. And my love for sports and wrestling. Lately, with the stress of finishing my master's degree, planning a wedding, looking for my, quote, big boy career, and balancing two jobs on top of that, the podcast and YouTube channel you guys provide for all of us SWAF Nation members really get me through the day and bring me joy. I like to listen to the podcast while I drive, and I'm able to hear your voices in my car speakers, and it gives me a break from my problems and the stresses of the stresses for the duration of the podcast. I have just started to go to therapy lately to work through my variety of mental health issues I have, mainly looking for ways to cope with my depression in a healthier manner. And I've started noticing that I make conscious decisions to do something that makes me happy on a daily basis. I feel less down about life. And listening to the Wrestle Ramble podcast is something I really enjoy and I do as a form of self-care. Just wanted everyone to know at WrestleTalk how much you all mean to me and that you guys might not know, but the hard work you do for us SWAF Nation members does not get lost. Thank you for being consistent team at WrestleTalk. And I hope one day I get to meet you all. Stay SWAF. And that's from Cody Buckingham. PS is attached of me and my fiance in high schools, just to show you that Ollie, that you can meet your love as a teenager.
Ah, they're a pretty couple.
There's a gorgeous couple, and you've got an excellent head of hair on you as well. That is lovely. Thank you so much for that email. That's a picture of them in high school.
Whoa.
that is quite the hair. I love it. That's
awesome haircuts.
Yeah, thank you so much for that email. It was really means a lot. And I'm glad that we can help out in any way we can with our silly little nonsense that we spout about here.
I'm pretty sure we can start putting that on the official iTunes description that we are medically proven to cure depression.
As said by at least one person.
I saw an advert the other day that said 60% of 30 women said this was effective. It was like a beauty thing.
Yeah.
I thought, that is not a big enough group to get a stat from. And it's only 60%.
Yeah.
It's like 16 people out of 30 said this was an effective
moisturiser. Basically half liked it.
It's like just my family and friends. I emailed my Facebook group and the people who got back to me, I've made a L'Oreal advert off the back of.
And it's not even like they all said it was really good. They said it was effective.
Do you think this is effective? What does effective mean? Well, I don't know. Do you think it's effective?
Yeah, I've given you two options. Is it or isn't it? Let me know which one. Anyway, that is all we've got time for on today's show. Myself and Laurie will be back tomorrow for the NXT Wrestle Ramble with more of your emails, your Rusev Hayes, your Agony Arts requests, your Poetry Corner submissions. Thank you very much for listening. I believe there's going to be a big thing happening on NXT tomorrow, so we're very looking forward to covering that. And then Ollie will return on the Saturday podcast. There might be Fantasy Booking Warfare this week, but we're not sure because Ollie says that he needs at least 2 weeks to be able to prepare.
To ignore it and then frantic. It. But like it festers in the back of my head.
Yeah.
I need to go on a walk. Just need to go on a long walk. So get my hair cut. That's where I do most of the fantasy booking. Just waiting forever.
But thank you very much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. At least I'll see you tomorrow. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.